It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For a few years now, NPR has hosted podcast challenges to showcase some of the stories that students are telling with audio. The topics are diverse, ranging from heavier conversations about climate change and book bans to lighter musings on the best way to stir your morning coffee. Those are some of the topics among the 10 finalists in this year's College Podcast Challenge, which NPR selected from more than 500 entries. One of the finalists is from Decatur, Illinois. Brandon Kondritz is in his second year studying for a degree in journalism at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. He explored our relationship with technology all around us and what happens when we try to go without it, even for a day. His piece is called The Day I Ditched My Devices, and after the break, we will play it for you in full. But for now, Brandon Kondritz joins me. Brandon, congratulations on being a finalist. Welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here. Happy to be here this morning.
So how did you decide you wanted to do this podcast about technology and from such a personal perspective?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. So I am on Northwestern student radio station up here in Evanston, WNUR, and we were having a pitch session one day, you know, as most, you know, radio newsrooms do. We're sitting around kind of talking about some ideas, and we were thinking about doing a broadcast about, you know, what it means to be chronically online and, you know, kind of the impact of digital technology in our lives. And I pitched a story. I said, well, what if somebody, you know, takes a whole day and just ditches all their technology and does some voice memo recording and puts it together into a package? And everybody was like, well, Brandon, you pitched it, so you've got to do it. And I was like, wait, what? So I was a little hesitant about that at first. But I did try to get out of it a couple of times, I will say that. But then I did it. And it was so rewarding, as you'll hear in my episode. But yeah, that was the origin story.
You know, technology is such a pervasive part of this life we've chosen, right? I'm looking at my notes for this conversation on a computer. The producers are on their laptops, often on the phone, taking calls as they're listening to the show. You know, before you did this project, how did you, as a journalist or journalist in training, how did you think about the role of technology in your work?
I mean, it's everywhere. And like you just said, you know, we engage with technology in so many ways that we don't even think about anymore. It's become so central to, you know, to our lives. Like in preparing for my Day Unplugged, I was like, okay, well, I've got to set up a bunch of scheduled emails, and I've got to tell people that if they message me, I'm not going to respond back because I'll be offline. And, you know, going to my classes, like I had to submit all of my homework early. I had to download all of my readings and print those out because all of my readings are online for my classes. And so, you know, only as a journalism student, obviously, I mean, I conduct so much of, you know, my journalistic work online. I mean, we're sitting on Zoom right now doing an interview, but also just in, you know, my day-to-day life. I mean, that I feel that's how I connect to people is, you know, they text me or they call me or they send me a Snapchat or they send me a TikTok. And if I don't respond back, somebody, you know, they're worried about me. They're like, what's Brandon up to? So it was a lot of, you know, warning folks ahead of time that, hey, I'm going to be offline for the day. I'll let you know how it goes after I get back online.
Well, maybe since we're going to hear the piece after the break, talk about some of the rules you set up for yourself, because you are using your device to record voice memos about not using your device, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that is a disclaimer that I say very early on, about 30 seconds into the episode. Yes, I did use my phone to record the voice memos, but that's all I used it for. My phone was on Do Not Disturb. I didn't even take my computer with me. It was back in my dorm. So I did have my phone, didn't have my watch, didn't have my AirPods. My phone is the only thing that was with me, but it was on Do Not Disturb. I didn't like feel any buzzes or anything like that throughout the day. I just opened the voice memos app. I had the voice memos app just like open on my phone, and then I would like open it up and then put it to sleep, so I didn't ever look at any other apps. So no technology besides the voice memos app.
And briefly, you said you were not super enthusiastic about this heading into it.
No, I wasn't, because I mean, you think about it, like it sounds easy in theory. You're just like, and that's why I pitched it right off the cuff. I was like, oh, well, let's just, you know, it shouldn't be that hard. And then I got to thinking about it, and I was like, wait, like what if somebody calls me and I miss, or like what if somebody's like trying to go to lunch with me and I miss their text? Are they going to think that I'm like blowing them off? And then I'm like, you know, really overthinking it. And then eventually I was like, okay, shut my mind off. I just got to do it. And I just have to try it and see how it goes. And try it is certainly what I did.
All right, we're going to take a break. After that, we will play the podcast that Northwestern student and Decatur native Brandon Condrit submitted for this year's NPR College Podcast Challenge. It's now one of 10 finalists in that competition. And after we listen to it, we'll talk with Brandon about what that experience has been like for him. More to come here on the 21st show after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with one of the finalists in this year's NPR College Podcast Challenge. His name is Brandon Condrits. He's a native of Decatur and now a student at Northwestern University in Evanston in journalism. And we're going to share with you what he submitted for the challenge. It's about 8 minutes long. Then we'll come back to Brandon live for some final thoughts. It's about, again, this is about our relationship with technology and the difference that it makes for better and for worse in our lives. It's called The Day I Ditched My Devices.
Hey. Hey.
Hey. Where's your phone right now? In your hand? On the table? Maybe it's in your pocket, but I bet you're listening to this through headphones connected to your phone. And even if you aren't, some kind of tech is bringing me directly to you. Every day, I can't even tell you how many hours I spend responding to emails and texts, building that perfect Spotify queue, or trying to crack the day's Wordle. Even most of my schoolwork is online, and especially post-COVID, work doesn't stop when I leave the classroom. So in a world where you have to use technology for everything, I wondered what would happen if I just stopped. So that's exactly what I did.
Hi, this is me, the night before my grand unplugging.
For a full day, I didn't use any technology. No phone, computer, AirPods, or my Apple Watch. In preparation, I submitted everything I could to Canvas, printed my readings, and set up some scheduled emails. Throughout the day, I recorded short voice memo check-ins journaling how things were going. A disclaimer, I did use my phone to record these, but that's all it was used for. Here's my reflection from the night before my digital detox.
Tomorrow is going to be hard because I'm chained to my email, unfortunately. The biggest challenges for me are going to be not listening to music. That's really going to suck. Oh, I just feel like during class, I am like, when I'm on my computer, I'm always just like, you know, futzing around and doing random things. I think it's going to be hard for me to stay, to like not be bored in class.
In some ways, the war between Russia and Ukraine is the most visible in history, made so by the almost universal ability to take video and post it online. We now have a...
When my alarm clock went off, I instinctively reached for my phone on the nightstand next to me. Don't worry, I stopped myself.
I had to stop myself for a second. I was like, whoa, hold on. Remember what you're doing. So, didn't pick up my phone. That was wonderful.
But it turns out I'm not alone in keeping my phone right next to me throughout the night.
We find with young adults, phones are usually within an arm reach or half an arm reach.
That's Elizabeth Dowdell. She's a nursing professor at Villanova University, just outside of Philadelphia, where she researches digital behavior in teens and young adults. Her area of expertise, sleep texting.
The phone has buzzed. It buzzed or it beeped or it ring-a-ding-dinged or whatever the ringtone, and the instinctual move is to get it.
Although I'm not a sleep texter, signs show that my phone could still negatively impact my sleep.
If there's a conscious awareness that that buzz has come through, your sleep's already been interrupted. Who then is in control? Is the tech in control or is the human? It can be turned off or it can be silenced or it can be put into airplane mode, and that's okay.
Bottom line, having your phone right next to you can hurt your sleep, even if the buzzing and dinging don't wake you up. I'm moving my charger across the room, thanks to Dowdell. After a quiet bowl of oatmeal, I headed out to my first class. I usually take Google Doc notes for this one, so today it was good old pen and paper.
I think the biggest challenge in this first class is going to be staying focused, because usually this is the class that I'm on my computer and I'm doing other things, like working on WNUR stuff, or, I don't know, looking for an apartment or something like that. So,
the result?
Honestly, I felt so locked in this class. Like, I felt like I really understood what was going on. Like, I understood the points that were being laid down in the lecture. I really felt tuned in.
When you think about it, it's not surprising. When you're concentrating on one thing, like listening to your professor, it's easier to focus than when you're trying to take notes, search for next quarter's classes, and play connections all at the same time. But don't just take my word for it. Jim Roberts at Baylor University says so too.
At first, I started measuring mostly smartphone addiction, right? What kind of signals and how many people are addicted and why are they addicted? And most importantly, what are the negative outcomes of that addiction? Well, really right now, it's the biggest hurdle that, you know, we have as college professors, getting people to pay attention, just not to be distracted.
Roberts is one of the earliest smartphone addiction researchers, and he's looked at everything from TikTok's instant gratification appeal to the effects of phone snubbing, better known as fubbing, on romantic relationships. As we chatted, I kept thinking, am I addicted to my phone?
Went to my second class of the day. In that class especially, I'm always checking my watch, seeing like notifications and stuff like that. And so not having my watch on my wrist really helped me focus in on what was going on, and I was able to contribute to the discussion in that class today.
Well, I mean, what would you have to say about wearable technology? Do you think that addiction is heightened by wearable technology, or is there much of a difference?
I mean, that's just another level of dependence on your phone. It's not uncommon for you, and maybe if you've done it longer, maybe even in your 24 hours, to kind of have phantom vibration.
I'll admit it. I felt a few phantom vibrations throughout the day. And don't get me wrong, even though I felt laser focused in class, I had my fair share of close call relapses.
I was sitting in the library this afternoon working on my homework, and I was doing my readings, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. I should check my phone. Oh, no, but I can't. Or I should check my Instagram. Oh, I can't do that either.
Above all, the biggest challenge wasn't having to ignore my texts or my heyday farm for the day. It was not being able to listen to music. I have this habit of filling silence with music, especially in the gym.
So that 20-minute run and then my ab circuit that I did was really strange. Without music, the sounds of my feet thumping the treadmill was really strange.
And walking through campus.
I left that class and I had to do the 20-minute walk back down south. And that was weird, because usually I listen to my music while I'm walking.
As strange as the silence felt, it turns out it's actually good for me, at least when I'm crossing the street.
I'm David Schwebel.
I am Despina Stavrinos.
My research broadly is on
injury prevention.
And one component of that is pedestrian injury prevention.
This somewhat new phenomena of people crossing the street while using devices.
Schwebel and Stavrinos, both from the University of Alabama, pioneered this type of research in the early 2000s. In simulations and real-world observations, they found that
one of the highest risks is just listening to music because you are not hearing the traffic.
It's no secret that Northwestern's campus is full of busy roads. I've seen my fair share of near collisions at the crosswalk by the Arch. Have I almost been hit by a bike before because I was texting my mom? Yes. But the duo says I'm not alone.
Humans have a limited capacity for multitasking, even though many of us do it a lot. So we think, oh, we're so good at it. But it truly can lead to suboptimal performance and increased risk.
It's commonplace. We have busy roads. We have less busy roads on our campus, and students are distracted on all of them.
I really needed this, I feel like. It was not at all what I expected it to be, which was really cool and interesting.
Don't get me wrong. Technology is great for a lot of things, but not what I expected is a great way to sum up the day. Even though a total unplug isn't practical.
I am now catching up on my emails and text messages, and I have about 50 unread text messages, 20 emails, and some Slack messages, so many notifications. I'm just swimming in notifications.
There are still things you can do to lessen technology's impact on your daily routine.
Plug it in at the end of the bed, or I know it's hard to say in the other room.
Make those boundaries and try to stick to them.
When you get to that intersection, turn it off for a minute, get across the street safely, and then turn it back on.
My advice? Try a digital detox yourself and pick up on all those little things you notice. Think about what would happen if everybody unplugged for just one day. Sure, it would feel weird considering the fact that we've grown up surrounded by tech. But I can't help but wonder how the world would look and feel if everybody took even a second to take off their headphones, look up from their screens, and enjoy the world around them.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show, and that was the day I ditched my devices, one of the 10 finalists from this year's NPR College Podcast Challenge. It was selected from more than 500 submissions. With us is the producer and host and guinea pig of that piece, Brandon Kondritz. He's from Decatur, Illinois, and is presently a student in journalism at Northwestern University in Evanston. You know, Brandon, I know you talked about this a little bit at the end of the piece there, but longer term, since you've done that piece, how has your relationship with technology changed? Has any of this stuck?
You know, generally, I've certainly become more cognizant of the role that technology plays in my life. I took a lot of recommendations away from, you know, those conversations that I had with some of those researchers, like Dr. Dowdell was talking about. I now plug my phone in across the room. It's not on my nightstand anymore. Dr. Roberts was talking about, you know, addiction and drawing boundaries. And so whenever I'm in class, I tuck my phone in my bag. I take my watch off and stick it in my bag too, so I don't feel, you know, distracted or always wanting to kind of look at a screen whenever I get bored. And then crossing the street, I will admit, I do need to get a little bit better about that. I still am very guilty of, you know, wearing my headphones, walking through campus, but I definitely, you know, am looking both ways more often because I don't want to be another statistic in those studies that, you know, I've got in an accident because I was too you know, nudged away in my phone. But still, though, more generally, I feel like I've become more cognizant of the role that technology plays. I think I don't spend as much time on, you know, on social media as I used to, and it's just been a good lesson in, you know, really being present and, you know, enjoying the world around you, like I said, and not the world that's on your screen right in front of you.
Okay, I'm going to risk sounding like an old man shaking my fist at the cloud here, but I, you know, I'm at the age where I know more professors than I do students in colleges, and I wonder, you know, what that is like in class if everybody has their head in a laptop or on their, you know, their screen doing 18 different things in addition to or maybe instead of listening to the lecture.
You know, I feel like that is something that happens a lot in college classes. And, you know, Dr. Roberts, that researcher that I talked to, he actively teaches at Baylor, like I said, and he was telling me in one of his, you know, advanced marketing research classes, he like forces all of his students to close their laptops, put them away. He's like, you have to take paper notes, because he said, if I don't enforce that policy, nobody pays attention, because he's like, you know, what I teach is, you know, sometimes not the most interesting topic. And, you know, I feel like class sometimes, you know, there are much more alluring things on your devices. Like I said, you know, playing, you know, the New York Times games, like playing Connections. I feel like that is, you know, one of the things that I see a lot of people doing in my lectures. And I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes I'm, you know, my emails or my Slack messages, like I said, or Instagram or Facebook or something is sometimes a little bit more interesting than sitting in a lecture. And so I feel like it takes a lot of self-control to say to yourself, you know, I need to really invest in my learning and, you know, put that device away. And that's a policy that a lot of my professors, you know, kind of say at the beginning of class. They're like, you know, technology is the ultimate distractor. You should stick that away while you're in class, really make sure you're paying attention. But at the end of the day, I mean, my thing is, it's up to you whether or not you put it away. And, you know, if you are not, you know, learning because you're too busy scrolling on Instagram or something, I feel like, you know, that will be reflected in your grades at the end of the day. And so I just really try to invest in my education by putting that technology away. And that's definitely something that, you know, my day unplugged kind of really taught me the value of.
All right. So you are one of 10 finalists, as I said, from 500 selected. That's pretty cool. What did it feel like to find that out? How did you find out you were in this elite circle?
So it's kind of a crazy story. I was just walking to class a couple weeks ago on a Monday morning, and I get an email from a Janet Lee. I was like, who is Janet Lee? And I open this email, and it says at the top, from NPR, this is embargoed information. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like I almost fell over. I called my mom and I was like, mom, I have big news. And she's like, what? And I told her. And so, well, it didn't. So Janet in her email said, like, give me a call. But I was like, this has to be something good. And so I called her later that day, and she announced that I was a finalist. And I was just sitting in one of our campus buildings, and I just like hung up, and I sat there, and I thought to myself, I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, this is insane. Like, I made this podcast because it's something I love, you know, audio journalism. I love, you know, making stories like this. I love just, you know, it was fun for me. Like, I wasn't, you know, entering it into the contest. You know, I didn't really have the contest as, you know, my motivation behind it. I actually produced it for WNUR. And then, you know, the contest was bookmarked on my computer. And I was kind of thinking about, you know, what can I submit to the podcast that would, you know, reflect my abilities and my storytelling skills. And I was home for winter break a couple months after I produced the podcast. And I was like, yeah, I feel like my day unplugged would be a good selection. So I, you know, read over the rules. I made a couple slight modifications. The version that you hear is a little bit different from the original. I stripped the music off of it. Mainly that's the only real difference, just to comply with NPR's guidelines. But yeah, I got that phone call and I was blown away. And then Monday morning, whenever the full list of finalists was published, all of my friends were like, Brandon, you're on NPR. And I was like, guys, I know. I'm just as flabbergasted as you are. So
nice. All right. Well, Brandon Kondritz is one of the finalists for the NPR College Podcast Challenge. The piece is The Day I Ditched My Devices. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about it.
Well, thanks, Brian. I appreciate you having me on. Good to chat with you.
And that is all the time we have for today. I do want to mention again, I'm going to be a broken record on this. There's an eclipse coming up 1 month and 1 day from today. Southern Illinois is in the path of a total solar eclipse. We're going to be talking about that in the weeks ahead. We want to hear from you. Are you on your way to see it? Do you have plans? If you've seen one in the past, what stood out to you about that experience? Leave a voicemail. Let us know. 217-300-2121. 217-300-2121. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.